blessed with his presence.
And it will come with power to our souls. I want to commence our service this evening by singing together the words of the hymn 331. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. We'll remain seated while we sing the words of this lovely hymn together, please. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's all seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's still ourselves in the house of God, ever mindful that we're coming into his presence, ever mindful that we are coming in obedience to his command, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee once again for the privilege we have of coming into thy courts and singing thy praise. We thank thee that thou hast directed our steps once again to the house of God. We come this evening to give thee thanks and praise that we have one in the glory who is our Redeemer and our Advocate and our Saviour. We thank thee that as we draw nigh to thee in prayer, we have that assurance that we are heard not because of our asking, but because of the one who is our Redeemer, the one who is our Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we give thee thanks and praise that you ever set your love upon us, in sending thine only begotten Son into this sin-cursed scene of time to live and to die for fallen, sinful man. We thank Thee for the plan of redemption. We rejoice that Thou hast so ordained it, and that Thy word declares it, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We thank Thee for that greatest of all gifts to mankind, ruined by the fall, but redeemed by sovereign grace. We come this night to give Thee thanks and praise as we gather on this the evening of Thy day for all Thy great goodness to us. And we thank Thee that we've been able to sing of a better day, a day when the redeemed will gather in the courts of glory. And we thank Thee that we will rejoice in all Thy goodness to us. And we look forward with anticipation to that day when we will dwell with Thee forever and forever. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But we're very conscious that for some in this gathering, they may not have been able to sing those words tonight, for as yet they have not that assurance of their eternal security. But, O loving Father, we pray that ere this service would come to a conclusion, that they will be numbered amongst the redeemed, and that their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For we're going home to glory soon, to see the mansions bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some are out of Christ, and held by many a snare. We cannot leave them lost and alone. We want them over there. And we pray, our loving Father, that there'll be none out of this service, none out of this congregation, none out of our family, but that on that great day, they will gather around the throne of God with the redeemed, with the Savior who loved them and gave Himself for them. And so, our loving Father, we pray that Thou will be pleased to be with us again this night. Thank Thee for Thy presence this day already. We thank Thee for the time spent in the Sunday school and the Bible class. We thank Thee for the morning service. We rejoice that we come to a triune God. And we do thank Thee for that time that we were able to spend around Thy table, remembering Thy dying love for us. And so, our Father in heaven, as we come again to the house of God, bless these moments we now spend in Thy presence. To this end, bless Thy servant. We thank Thee for journeying mercies to him. And we pray as he comes to minister Thy word that Thou wilt endue him with the power of God the Holy Spirit. Remember the Reverend Park as he ministers in Cumber tonight. We pray that Thou wilt be with him as he preaches Thy word, and for each saint of God who ministers Thy truth tonight, may they know the infilling of God the Holy Spirit, and may there be signs following the preaching of Thy word. And so, loving Father, as we continue now before Thee, bless these moments, we pray, and may we be drawn closer to Thee, and may we leave the house of God tonight with that assurance in our heart that we have met with Thee, and that we will, even in the week that lies before us, take the fragrance of these moments that we spend in Thy presence with us, knowing that Thou hast promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Remember families tonight who carry heavy burdens. Think of families who mourn. We pray that Thou will be with them. And in the midst of their sorrow, may they be conscious that Thou art the God of all comfort and the God of all grace. We pray and ask these things in the Savior's name, giving Thee thanks. Amen. Amen. We bid you welcome in the Savior's name to our evening service, to our family night service, and we're delighted for all that's come. We thank you for coming to be with us this evening, and for those visitors amongst us, we do especially bid you welcome, and we trust that the Lord will bless you as you fellowship with us here in Hebron. And to those who join us via sermon audio, we bid you welcome in the Saviour's name, wherever you're listening. We trust that as you come to worship with us here in Ballymoney, that the Lord will be pleased to take his word and apply it effectively to your heart. We welcome the preacher for this evening in the person of Mr. Jonathan Whiteside from our Port of Ogie congregation. We do thank our brother for coming and for ministering God's word to us tonight. We've enjoyed his ministry in the past, and we do trust that the Lord will bless him as he comes to speak to us again this evening. Do you remember Reverend Park as he's ministering in the harvest service in Cumber? Tomorrow evening, 8 p.m, meeting for session. Trust that the members of session will keep that meeting in mind. Wednesday evening, the school management committee meeting at 8 p.m. And we trust that you'll remember that meeting for those who are members of the school management committee. Thursday evening is our midweek service when we meet for a season of prayer and Bible study. And Reverend Park's continuing the series, Hindrances to Prayer. And certainly there are many hindrances when we come to the mercy seat. But how good it is to know that we have one who has said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Then, in reference to our harvest services, the harvest decorations, this will be scaled down this year, as you can imagine, given the circumstances that we find ourselves in. But those who can supply the fruit and vegetables and flowers, please bring them in on Thursday night, if that is at all possible, please. Friday is our youth fellowship at 8 p.m. And for the members of the youth fellowship, if they would read Genesis chapter 4 through to 6 for the quiz. And the speaker, again, on that occasion will be the Reverend Park. Who is Jesus, his humanity? Do you remember our youth fellowship? They got off to a good start on Friday night past. We thank Samuel and Jonathan and those who lead the youth fellowship. And they had a good number in Friday night. Maybe it's not your habit to come to the youth fellowship. Well, can I encourage you, if you want to be amongst that category, I'm not going to tell you what's the definition of youth, other than if it's post-primary school age, So anything from 11 years upwards, then you are very welcome. And I'm not going to put a cap on it as to when you don't come to the youth fellowship. So you'll be made most welcome. Then the harvest services, Lord willing, over next weekend, Saturday evening, we see at 7:30 the commencement of those harvest services. And the preacher will be the Reverend Thomas Martin from our Cumber congregation. Do remember the special harvest offerings over the weekend for the building fund. Service next Lord's Day, the early morning prayer meeting at 8 a.m. Sunday school is at 3, commenced at 10:45. The Bible class at the same time, when we'll continue our study in the life of the disciples of the Saviour, just like you, dealing with the disciples. Then the harvest service at 12 noon, when we'll be pleased again in the will of the Lord to have with us Dr. John Douglas, and we've been blessed over number of years to have our dear brother, and as he comes, remember him in prayer as he ministers God's word with us next Lord's Day at the special harvest service. Then in the evening time, the gospel service, the harvest gospel evening service, 7 p.m. when our own minister, the Reverend Park, will minister God's precious word. Just re-emphasizing the harvest Thanksgiving special offerings over the weekend will go to the building fund. And thank you in the Saviour's name for continuing to bring in the tithes and the offering, the building fund, the work for the Let the Bible Speak, the missionary covenants, the school covenants, and all other commitments that this congregation has. We thank you in the Saviour's name. Just to thank and to remind you and to pay public thanks for those gifts that have come in to the Pakistan school, to the work in Pakistan, and also to the orphanage in India. The total offerings and gifts towards our brother Alex Barnabeo has come to £3,000. And we do thank you for your help in regards to this particular matter. Continue to remember Alex as he is still in the land of Spain, and as he would return, and pray that the Lord will continue to bless this dear child of God and his family as soon they will return to take up the work in the land of Spain. and we thank you for your kindness towards them, and not only in a practical way, but also continue to remember them in prayer. Just before we sing our second hymn, can I just make one other announcement, and that is in regards to when we leave the service this evening. As you know, we have been endeavouring to maintain social distancing and maintain the requirements that is placed upon us in that regard. We thank you for all your efforts and for your patience and for your help in all that you've done. But we would just ask for you to remember as you leave the church. We're very conscious that over the last few Sundays there has been gatherings outside the church doors. And we would ask you just we need to just be mindful of that, and we trust that you will help us in that regard so that the testimony and the witness here is maintained. We're going to sing the hymn number 603. We're bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the home of the happy, the kingdom of love. You wander us from God in the broad road of folly. Oh, say, will you go to the Eden above? We'll sing this hymn together, remaining seated while we sing, please. To bring the message the Lord has laid upon his heart. Lord bless you, brother.
I would like to thank our brother for his kind words of welcome and also for leading the meeting. It really does help with the pressure and it's greatly appreciated. Our brother was just talking about the youth. And I'm passionate about the youth. It's critical for our denomination going forward. And I'm 46 and I go to the youth still. Now I do lead it, but I'm 46. So there's no excuse for anyone who's in their teens and early 20s not to go to the youth. And I was just thinking, I always encourage our young people. It's their work. And God's give you a work, young person. If you're a member of the youth, get young people in. You know, don't just wait and sit back and hope they come in. And certainly pray that they come in. But be active. In God's house, encourage them. If someone's not going, or maybe you haven't seen in a while, invite them in. It's vital. It's really important. It is good to be with you tonight. Your minister did tell me that he lets everybody out within the hour. So I'm going to make sure I stick to that, or else I get scolded. So we're going to turn to God's Word, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to commence our reading tonight from the first 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Amen. We do pray that the Lord would bless the reading of his word. If we can just take a moment to bow our heads and close our eyes and ask for the Lord's blessing upon the preaching of his word. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we do thank you for thy house tonight. Lord, what a blessing it is to dwell amongst thy saints. Lord, we think of the world outside, a world of gloom, a world of darkness, Lord, a world of chaos. But Lord, we rejoice tonight that we have the Word of God before us, the light within the darkness. And Lord, we thank you for that blessing of being able to come together, to be under the instruction of thy Word, Lord, to fellowship and to praise thee. And oh Lord, we ask now for a special sense of thy presence. Lord, we realize the seriousness of the message. Lord, maybe there's some in the meeting tonight, Lord, and they're not saved, despite the privilege of being in God's house, despite the privilege of hearing the gospel. Lord, they've hardened their heart towards Thee. Lord, we pray tonight that Thou would soften that heart. Lord, we pray for a moving of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we pray indeed that God would move in such a way that would break the hardest heart. Oh, that souls would come to Calvary tonight. Oh, Lord, that You would save precious souls. Lord, maybe it's a son in the meeting tonight, or a daughter. And their mother and father's heart's breaking for them. And maybe right now they're praying for them. Lord, hear that prayer. Answer that prayer. Lord, maybe it's a mother or father or another family member. Oh, Lord, hear the cries of God's people. And move and save and unite families in Christ. We ask it in Thy name. Amen. Amen. Tonight I would like to leave the first 19 before you as my text. And there, God's word reads, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. In the book of Numbers, in the chapters 13 and 19, we read about the Israelites standing at Jordan, looking over into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And as you all know, the account, Moses sends the 12 spies to scope out the land. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, come back and they bring back a good report. And they tell the people that the Lord is good and God will give them the land. However, the other 10 did not have such confidence. And they thought that they couldn't take the land. They believed that the armies protecting Canaan outmatched the armies of Israel. You see, they weren't trusting in God. When the people of Israel hear the report, they take it out on Moses. How Moses always got the blame for everything. And they took it out on Moses and they turned on him. They refused to take the land. And so the Lord says, for their disobedience and murmuring, that they will die in the wilderness. And that the promised land will be given to their children, but not this generation. Now, 40 years later, the children of Israel stand once again at Jordan. About 80 miles where they stood previously, looking into the land of Canaan, the promised land, the land full of milk and honey. And this is a critical point for the children of Israel. Before them is the River Jordan, the promised land, and behind them is the wilderness. And so Moses summons every single person in the nation, old, young, to speak to them one last time. You see, really, this was Moses' farewell sermon. Moses had come to the end of his journey. And I'm sure you can sense the emotion in verse 19. Considering all that Moses had come through, all that he had seen over this last 40 years, and now he stands before his people one last time, and he preaches to them from the heart. He cries unto them, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And I really want you to sense the solemnness in this message. This is people that he lived with. He walked with day after day for this last 40 years. He worshipped with them. He preached to them. He led them. And now he stands before them and he says that the decision that they're going to make will either give them life or death. It was a critical decision. He tells them if they're obedient to God's word, they will receive the Lord's blessing. But if they're disobedient, they will be cursed. And at the end of this address to his people, I'm sure the emotions were high. I'm sure his heart was heavy. And in desperation in his voice, he pleads with them. at the end of his sermon, and he says, therefore, choose life. And friend, that's my plea to you tonight. Choose life. Choose eternal life. Choose Christ. There's maybe those in the meeting tonight, and you're like the children of Israel. Yes, you're in God's house. Yes, you have your Sunday finest on. But the heart is rebelling against God. You don't want to do it God's way. You don't want to adhere by God's commandments. You don't want to give your life to Christ. Instead, you want to live for the world. And so tonight you stand at this fork in a road. A crossroads, if you like. Life or death. God's blessing or the curse of God. Heaven or hell. You know, tonight the Lord has brought you to God's house. You're here for a reason. And tonight, as you sit in that pew, you have a decision to make. You face a signpost. And that signpost is called eternity. And I want you to consider tonight, where will you spend eternity? You know, we're singing that first hymn. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. You know, as I heard the congregation saying, my heart leapt. I thought, what a day that will be when I see my Lord. What a day of rejoicing. Were you able to sing that? Did your heart leap? Or did you lower your head realizing that's not you? The first thing I'd like you to notice from this passage is that Moses addresses a privileged people. You see, the children of Israel weren't a heathen nation like the nations that surrounded them. They weren't a people that were taught to worship false idols like the nations around them. No, this was a privileged people that were brought up under the law of God. In verse 8, Moses tells the children of Israel to obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments. You see, the children of Israel had the commandments that God had given to them. They knew there was a standard under the law. They knew what was right and wrong before God. They knew that they should have no other gods before them. They knew not to take the Lord's name in vain. They knew that they should keep the Sabbath day. They knew all the commandments that God had written on the tablets. They'd been taught the law of God as children. They also knew that there had to be an atonement for their sin. You see, the children of Israel were not only taught the law, but they're also taught to offer sacrifices as an atonement for their sin. In Leviticus chapter 17, in the verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And the children of Israel knew that there had to be blood shed for atonement of their souls and their sin. And so they would have brought the sacrificial animal to the priest. And each year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would have entered the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. They were a privileged people. They were a privileged people because they had a man of God leading them. They had a man of God preaching to them, telling them what was right and wrong. Time and time again we read of Moses warning the children of Israel of being disobedient to the law and the will of God. Indeed, they were privileged. And dear friend, is that not you tonight? Are you not privileged? Has God not been merciful to you? From a child, you've been taught the Scriptures. You know what is right and what is wrong. You believe there is a God. You believe in the commandments as you were taught. You know and do, to a large extent, respect the Sabbath day. You have head knowledge when it comes to salvation. You know that you need to be saved. You know that the only way that you can be saved is by putting your faith and trust in Christ. Since you can remember, your mother and father or grandparents has read you the Word of God. I mentioned about the spies going into the land of Canaan. I'm sure everyone tonight in this gathering knows that account. You've been brought up in a faithful church. You've been taught the Word of God in Sunday school. Children's meeting, the youth fellowship. You've been nurtured. Nurtured in the Word of God. Look around you. Look at the world today. Look how many false religions there is out there. Billions of people tonight are being misled. But you? You are privileged sitting under the Word of God. But despite all these blessings in your life, tonight you're without salvation. How sad. As things stand right now in this meeting, you will never see the promised land. And if you were to die without Christ tonight, you will go to a Christless hell. Despite all the privileges. You see, just because you're privileged doesn't mean that you'll go to heaven. And I wonder sometimes, is this the reason why people delay coming to Christ? Oh, I will come from a Christian home and it's only a matter of time before I get saved. It's a sure thing, but right now I want to play with the world. Is that your attitude tonight? You know, suffering young person, having saved parents, even though it's such a blessing of God, and I thank God for my parents, but having saved parents won't get you to heaven. Belonging to the Free Presbyterian Church won't save you. Having Christian friends, or going to youth weekends, or going to the youth fellowship or Sunday school or coming out to God's house each Sunday won't save you. Putting your trust in a minister or a Sunday school teacher won't save you. No, the only thing that will save you tonight is by putting your faith and trust in Christ. That is the only thing that will save you tonight. There's no other way to salvation. You can only be saved by grace through Christ and Christ alone. I don't care what home you come from. I don't care what privileges you've had or have. Only Christ can atone for your sin. Only the blood. Nothing else. But you know this. Don't you? You know this. You know that you need to get saved. You know there's a heaven and hell. Maybe it's a case you know the Bible better than I do. And the reason why is because you're privileged. Friend, if you're sitting in God's house tonight, unsaved, despite all these blessings, I say this lovingly, you're a fool. You're a fool. Secondly, I would like you to notice from our text, it's a proposition that Moses puts to the people. Look at verse 19 again. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Moses was making it very clear to the children of Israel, if you follow God's way and God's instruction, you will enter into the promised land. You will receive the blessing of God. But if you deny God and His wonderful offer of the promised land, you will die in the wilderness and be cursed as your parents. And there was a clear signpost before the people, and that being life or death. And the children of Israel had to make a choice that day. We read of another time the children of Israel had to make a choice in 1 Kings, in chapter 18, verse 21, when Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be your God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people answered him not a word. And Elijah was also pushing the people to decide between God and Baal. And dear friend, tonight you've come to this crossroads called eternity. And you must decide. You must decide tonight whom you're going to serve. You know, don't think by trying to put out your mind, block out what I'm saying, that you're not going to make a decision. Tonight, you either decide for Christ or reject Him. And by walking off and putting it off to some other time, that decision is rejecting. Tonight you must choose between life and death. And what a solemn thought. And I really want you to think about that tonight. This could be, for all I know, your last opportunity. This could be your last chance, if you like, of coming to Christ. You could leave this building tonight and you could tragically die. We're told that God's Spirit will not always drive a man, and this might be the last opportunity for you to hear the gospel. And I want you to realize how serious this is. And what are you going to do tonight? Choose life or death. Heaven or hell. And think about what I'm saying. If you're sitting there tonight and you're rejecting Christ, you are choosing an eternity in hell. Does that not terrify you? That tonight you leave this building and your eternity is sealed. John chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord tells us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Christ is life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And you see, dear friend, if you're in God's house tonight, not saved, the path to life is to put your faith and trust in Christ. With all your heart, acknowledge Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sin. You know, there's a false gospel preached today where people think it's okay to make a profession and then just carry on with their sinful life. No, no, no. The gospel is to put your faith and trust into Christ and repent of your sin. Turn away from your old life. And tonight, if you choose life, you must ask Christ into your heart. Simply as a child would do. You know, even right now where you're sitting, you know, maybe there's a battle going on. And the devil's saying, put it off, put it off, put it off. But right now, where you're sitting, God is calling you. And all you have to do to choose life is bow your head and say, Lord, save me. Forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart and give your life to Him. And here's the wonderful thing. He will. If you want life, you can have it now. And dear unsaved friend, this is the proposition before you tonight. Life or death, heaven or hell, what will it be? Young person, can I plead with you? Come to Christ, even now. Look at the blessing that you have. You have a godly mother and father beside you, praying for you every night. They want to see you saved. Can you not now just bow your head and come to Calvary? Say, Lord, save me. Will you not do that? Lastly, I'd like you to notice from my text the plea that Moses makes. He pleads that the children of Israel, and he says to them, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Moses had a desire for the children of Israel to live. And so this is the case with you, dear friend. Christ desires you to come and to choose eternal life through Him. How we read in Luke 23 in the verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord says, not a word in His own defense. When He prayed to His Father, He might have justly have said, Father, note what they do to Thy beloved Son. Judge them for the wrong that they do to Him who loves them and who has done all that He can for them. But there's no such prayer against them. Instead, the words that the Lord utters is, Father, forgive them. They did not ask for forgiveness themselves. Jesus asked for forgiveness for them. Their hands were covered in His blood. It was then and even then that He prayed for them. He pleaded for them before the Father. Oh, the great love of Christ for sinners. And maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, I'm too big of a sinner to get saved. I've done so much in my life, there's no way that I can become a Christian. Maybe you have an addiction tonight. Maybe the alcohol is controlling your life. Maybe you've done bad things in the past and the devil now is throwing them all in front of you saying, there's no way. I know I need to get saved tonight, but there's no way I can become a Christian. What did the Lord say? Father, forgive them. You're right. On your own strength, you can't become a Christian. You can't get saved on your own strength. But you can through Christ. In Romans chapter 5 in the first 8, it tells us, but God commendeth His love towards us in that, while we were yet sinners. I want you to listen to this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the power of the gospel. And dear friend, if you're in the meeting tonight not saved, Christ died for you. The Son of God left the glories of heaven. He came to this old wicked world to be mocked, to be spat upon, to be whipped, and eventually crucified for you, for me. You see, the Lord pleads in Luke chapter 23 to forgive them. He doesn't say, Father, forgive the soldiers who have nailed me there. Yes, they're included. Neither does he say, Father, forgive the people who are beholding me. And yes, once again, they're included. Neither does he say, Father, forgive sinners in ages to come who will sin against me. Yes, they're all included. But I think John 3:16 sums up this so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And dear unsaved friend, you are the whosoever. Can I plead with you, as I close, to come to the cross tonight? To make that decision, life. I choose life tonight. What a blessing to leave this building tonight redeemed. Think about it. You came in as a sinner, bound for hell. What a blessing would be to leave those doors tonight rejoicing that you're saints of God, saved and bound for heaven. You know, I remember hearing a story of Mr. Spurgeon. And I believe the building he was going to preach one evening, I think it was called the Crystal Cathedral, Crystal Palace. And that afternoon he wanted to test out the acoustics of the building. And obviously in those days they didn't have mics or PA systems that we have today. And so he went down with a friend and he stood in the pulpit and his friend stood at the back of the church and he was testing his voice and he said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And his friend said, a bit louder. And he says, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he went up into another part of the building and Mr. Spurgeon kept repeating it, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. And he kept repeating it. Later on that night, after Mr. Spurgeon had preached, a man came to him to shake his hand. And he says, Mr. Spurgeon, I just want to let you know that I got saved. Mr. Spurgeon said, Well, that's great news. Did you get saved during the meeting? And he says, No, Mr. Spurgeon. This afternoon, I was working up in the rafters, fixing the window. And I heard you cry, Behold the Lamb of God. And he simply, as in his work clothes, bowed the knee and asked Christ into his heart. Friend, will you not do that now? Think of the crossroads that you face. Life or death. Heaven or hell. Can you now not just bow your head and say, Lord, I give you my life. Believe in Christ. Believe in the redemptive work of the cross. Trust that Christ died for you so that you may have eternal life. Oh, I plead as Moses pleaded before the children of Israel. Therefore, choose life that both you and thy seed may live. And I pray that you do that. Let's bow our heads to bring the meeting to a close. If there is someone in God's house tonight, and God's been speaking. And God's been speaking to you personally. And you would like to get saved. Maybe you need some more help, some more advice. Can I urge you just to remain behind in your seat? One of the elders, Dr. Kearns, is in the meeting. Myself, we'd love to have that chance to speak to you and to even talk more about the wonderful redemptive work of Christ. But please, do not leave this building choosing death. I plead with you. I plead with you, choose life. O Heavenly Father, we thank you for the redemptive work of the cross. We thank you that the Son of God did leave the heavens, the glory of heavens, and come to this sinful world to die for sinners such as I. Lord, we thank you that there is a way, a means of life. Lord, we thank you for those who are saved. There is a promised land, a land of eternal peace, a land of eternal happiness with Christ. And Lord, thou knowest every heart in the meeting tonight. And Lord, if there's someone in the meeting tonight that's not saved, Lord, we pray for them, Lord, that thou would intervene. Lord, we thank you that salvation belongeth to thee. And O Lord, we pray that thou would move and call that person by their name. Lord, defeat the devil tonight. And oh, that some dear sinner would come to thee. Oh Lord, we thank you for thy word. We pray, Lord, that thy word would remain with us even as we make our way home. Lord, even as we put our heads upon the pillow tonight, as we close our eyes, Lord, we would consider where we would spend eternity. And Lord, that each one of us will be able to say we choose life. So Lord, we thank you for thy word. Bless it to our hearts. Now, take us to our homes in safety until we meet again. We ask it in thy name. Amen. Amen. I would ask you as you're leaving, as the brother story said, to leave in an orderly fashion. The stewards will escort you as you leave the building. Thank you.